Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Can I vent for a minute?
Please do.
I'm hot, and it's all in the form of a question. Who are Diaz, Daza, Trejo?
Is that part of the Rockies lineup tonight?
That is your sixth, Diaz, seventh, and Diaz. Eighth hitters tonight.
What do you think we should do about it, Diaz?
Diaz, Daza, and Trejo are batting sixth, seventh, and eighth.
They call up the Isotopes lineup tonight to play? I mean, what's going
calling
on?
Calling this Rockies lineup a AAA lineup is insulting all AAA lineups.
Mace.
Sometimes there's a bit of hyperbole in there.
I know.
It's not. Garrett Hampson's leading off. Garrett Hampson has barely played in the majors, and I think he's 27. Guys who are 27 playing baseball who haven't established themselves are in AAA. AA teams don't want them because that's where the real talent is. They play in AAA.
Right.
Okay. CJ Cron's been awful. Fuentes, I understand he's got good bloodlines. He's batting fifth. Blackman's out. Story's going to be traded. This lineup is embarrassing.
Is it the worst lineup the Rockies have ever put out?
It is the worst lineup I have ever seen since covering this team since 2014. Yeah. This lineup is unrecognizable. And you know what? I was talking to somebody who's inside the Rockies organization today. And he said to me, I don't know if we fill the capacity that we have at Coors Field with what our restrictions are with COVID. And we saw that during the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they filled the stadium for the Dodgers games when they got to midweek games. And there's always going to be a lesser crowd midweek, but you were
not
talking
like
about,
that.
You're talking about 10 to 12,000. There are still tickets available for this weekend against the Mets. Now, the weather isn't going to be great, but still, weekend games, tickets available.
Excuse the double entendre, Dick Montfort, but nobody is dying to watch your ball club.
Oh, man.
Again, excuse
the
double entendre. No one is dying to watch your ball club. It has two meanings.
Yeah.
Take it for how you want to. Diaz, Daza, Trejo. Jeff Breidich used Dick Monfort's money to buy Spam, overcooked rice, and wilted lettuce. And it was handed to Bud Black, and Bud Black has been told, put together a gourmet meal.
So you basically have the DDT lineup coming, or at the end, DDT trio at the end of the lineup.
Michelin's-
Isn't that an insecticide?
Michelin star chefs on Chopped on the Food Network could not make a gourmet meal with Spam, overcooked rice, and lettuce that's wilted. And that's what Bud Black is expected to do every night, as he probably held his nose and saw 6, 7, and 8 on the lineup and said, okay, I'll go with Diaz and Daza and Trejo.
Sometimes all you can do is play the guys that you've got. I mean, it's almost like Bud Black is saying, this is the lineup you put together for me, Jeff. This is the roster you gave me. You know, Bud's the chef, and he's dealing with some ingredients that have been left out on the counter for a few weeks now, and they've turned.
Time now for the lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
All right, Pat Shurmur is going to watch Trey Lance work out on Monday in Fargo, North Dakota. Mike Sando of The Athletic had an interesting little nugget. He wrote a piece projecting the top 10 picks with the input of a GM and multiple other high-ranking personnel executives. He has the Broncos taking Trey Lance at number 9, meaning Lance will slip that far. He also includes this quote from an unnamed GM. The Broncos will take Trey Lance if he's there. I think they'll take him if he's there too, but he won't be. With that, are you hearing that the Broncos are going to take Trey Lance if he slips? Or are you more than likely, are you hearing they would trade up to get him?
I'm hearing that if they want him, they'd have to trade up, but clearly they don't want to have to give up too much. And I would say, for example,
then they don't want him.
Next year's first round pick is too much.
Then they don't want Fields, and then they don't want Lance. If they are not willing to trade up, where in this league, teams are always willing to trade up to get a quarterback. If the Broncos are hoping and praying that one of those guys are going to fall, could happen. It's the equivalent of Dick Monfort putting out that crap lineup and hoping they're going to get 90 wins.
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, I don't know how much you want to go put into the odds that are out there, but there has been substantial movement at the number 3 pick to where now Justin Fields is the betting favorite to be the 49ers pick, not Mac Jones. And of course, as we talked about earlier this week, Adam Schefter, who proclaimed earlier this month that Mac Jones would be the pick, has backtracked a bit this week on that proclamation.
Again, they're doing their due diligence. They're finding out a little bit more about Lance, a little bit more about Fields, a little bit more about Jones. Again, I have never in all my years covering the NFL draft heard so much chatter about the number 3 pick. Usually it's the first pick. Maybe it's the second pick. The third pick, because we know picks 1 and 2 are absolute locks. So essentially, you can make the case, the draft really begins with the San Francisco 49ers. And there's all this chatter and all these smoke screens about what are they going to do? Quite frankly, you know what? I'm exhausted from it. I just don't care. I really don't care.
You only have 2 weeks left to go. I mean, you're almost at the end of the marathon here. We've been talking about this draft stuff really for, I'd say it really started Senior Bowl week. So we've been talking about it for nearly 3 months.
I'm just saying
you're almost there.
I'm just saying the Niners are becoming annoying. They're becoming annoying.
Why?
Because every day it's a different story. I understand it with the first pick, but the first pick's Trevor Lawrence. I can even understand with the second pick, but the third pick? Do your due diligence. If it's Mac Jones, that opens things up for more trades, with Lance and Fields potentially falling. Mm-hmm. If it is going to be Lance or Fields, I think there will likely be less trades into the top 10 to get one of those guys, because I don't know how many teams are really that interested in trading away a ton of capital to get into the top 10 for Mac Jones.
And then if Mac Jones does fall, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Broncos trade out of the top 10. And maybe if he's sitting there at 9.
Say that one more time.
If Mac Jones falls and he's the last quarterback of these 5, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Broncos trade out of the top 10. Heck, maybe even trade out of the top 10 with a team that does need a quarterback and wants to move up to get the last one that has a viable first-round argument.
If you really want a guy, it doesn't matter what the cost is. Seriously, it does not matter what the cost is. The Broncos are not dying to get Justin Fields or Jones or Lance. If they were, they would have made an unbelievable offer to get the number 3 pick. Again, it's a quarterback, but they're just not in love with any of these guys. If they were in love, they would have made the trade. Clearly, San Francisco wants to have their pick of one of the 3. Now, if the Broncos trade to 4, I stand corrected. If they trade to 5, I stand corrected. But if they don't trade to 4 or 5, if they don't trade there, maybe even 6, then they weren't dying to get any of these 3 quarterbacks who are going to be left. And I don't want to hear the nonsense. If they do get one of these quarterbacks at 9, we got the guy we wanted. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you really wanted one of these guys, you would have traded up to get them. You just got lucky they fell in your lap.
Oh, maybe you're trying to have your cake and eat it too. You're trying to say, okay, let's see if we can get the quarterback without having to sacrifice any other draft picks. You're trying to have everything. It may not be possible to have everything, but there's a point at which moving up is too rich, and I think clearly that involves the first round pick next year. But if you're talking about dealing with the Bengals and maybe you can do it for 2 second round picks or a second round pick, a third round pick, and a player, there are rumblings, for example, according to Mike Garofalo of NFL Network, that Deshaun Hamilton is on the market and you're not going to get back much.
Did you read the show notes?
Yes.
What's coming up next?
Deshaun Hamilton.
Stop talking. That's a tease.
But it's relevant for this.
It's not relevant because we're at a break.
It's relevant because...
Okay, let's just go ahead. Kill the whole segment. I'll just sit
No,
back.
I'm not going to kill the whole segment.
And
I'm
then
just
stop
saying.
Talking and make it a tease.
No.
Seriously.
Well, no.
We're hitting a break.
Well, I have
make
to...
Make it a
I
tease.
I want to finish the point.
Good. And everybody can't wait to hear what you say when we come back.
Oh, my gosh. Dude.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Never have to worry about what is worse or what is best.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can listen. 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. You can also reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my friend Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. I've been procrastinating about putting together my estate plan, my living will, for a long time, and I got to tell you something. I am so glad not only that I did it, but it is done. You just never know if there's going to be a tomorrow, because at the end of the day, you want to protect your family. You want to make sure that things don't go through probate. Courts don't take care of your wishes when they don't know what your wishes are. Put everything together with Dan McKenzie and McKenzie Law. I trust him. He answered all of my questions, and I got to tell you, I feel so good that this is done. It doesn't matter what age you are. Get this done. And whether you think you have a lot of money or a little bit of money, if you have something of value, make sure it is protected with an estate plan, a will, or a living will. Go with Dan McKenzie and McKenzie Law. Go to themckenziefirm.com. That's themckenziefirm.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
Okay, NFL Network's Mike Garofalo reporting the Broncos have received interest and have gotten phone calls about Deshaun Hamilton. Mace, what could they get for him?
Well, there are two possibilities. Number one, you throw him in as part of a bigger deal to maybe lessen the draft pick cost. You maybe if you've got a trade up, for example, and you're saying, okay, we'll do it for a 2 and a 3 or a 2 and a 4. Well, maybe Deshaun Hamilton means that a 2 and a 3 becomes a 2 and a 4 or a 2 and a 4.
Yeah, but that team's
going to 2 and a 5.
One of those teams that you're trading up with has to clearly be one of those teams that have called about Deshaun Hamilton.
Right.
I don't know if the two are going to necessarily match.
I don't think they will. I think this is more likely that he ends up as a Minnesota Viking.
Ah.
Well, think about think of the connections here. 2018, that was the draft in which Gary Kubiak was the most involved, correct?
2018?
Remember when he came back? He was working in scouting.
The Bradley Chubb draft.
Kubiak was involved. Gary Kubiak just retired from the Vikings, his second retirement as offensive coordinator. His son is now their offensive coordinator. The Vikings could use a little more depth at the wide receiver position. George Payton, of course, coming from Minnesota. I think all roads on Deshaun Hamilton likely lead to him going to Minnesota for a sixth-round pick.
It's funny. What did we say about the Denver Broncos from roughly, I don't know, 2004 to 2010? They were the Houston Texans North. Why? Because Rick Smith, who used to be with the Broncos, went on to Houston to become their GM. So, yes, when you have two teams that know each other well, or executives that know each other well, you tend to trade more with people who you know, not then, I guess you could say, people that you don't know as well. Look at the relationship between John Elway and John Lynch. They've had some dealings as well.
And they've had some interesting deals. They've actually had players who maybe were traded for more or less than what you would have perceived their value to balance things out. And I know I said a six for Deshaun Hamilton, but if it ends up being, oh, well, you guys got George Payton. I mean, if you're scratching backs and so forth, for all we know, it might even be a fifth round pick that gets swapped, or maybe it sets up for another deal made down the line. But that's the most likely destination at this point. Kind of another one that you kind of keep your eyes on would be Cleveland. And again, that's the Kubiak connection. Kevin Stefanski, their head coach, worked under Gary Kubiak in Minnesota, or worked with him hand in hand running that offense in 2019. That's another place that might make some sense for Deshaun Hamilton. But clearly, it appears that he's on the way out. And if you look at the Broncos receiving core, let's say they keep everybody else. So you keep Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, and you also have Tyree Cleveland, who you drafted last year. They like him a lot. He showed some flashes. He's what they thought Juwan Winfrey would have been a year earlier. And then you fill it out, of course, with Deontay Spencer, who's also your returner. There's no room at the inn for Deshaun Hamilton right now on this roster. And you can find back, if someone gets hurt, you can find another back of the roster wide receiver. Shoot, you'll probably draft a day three receiver because there's no shortage of quality receivers coming out. It's better to get something for Deshaun Hamilton than keep him through cuts and get nothing back if he doesn't make the 53. That's all this type of deal would be. And you know, it's kind of a shame because Hamilton showed some flashes the last few years. He also, unfortunately, is going to be remembered for the drops.
Okay, what I'm about to say is going to sound like it's a stretch, and you can make the case it is, but the facts suggest it isn't.
Okay.
When we talk about wide receivers in the draft moving forward, I don't want to hear anymore how great a route runner somebody is. I just don't, because you know why? Let's go back to the 2018 draft. Mm-hmm. In the 2018 draft, a whole mess of wide receivers were taken. Carolina Panthers started off with DJ Moore, then Calvin Ridley went to the Falcons, and then Courtland Sutton was the third wide receiver off the board to the Broncos. And then the Broncos took another wide receiver later on in that draft, and that was Deshaun Hamilton with the 113th pick. What did everybody say about Deshaun Hamilton? Best route runner in the draft.
Yep. Classic slot receiver.
Great route runner.
Not fast, but a great route runner, and he made quick cuts. That's what you talked about.
Okay. And who was the best route runner in this last draft class?
A guy who wears jersey number 10 in orange and blue, and that's Jerry Jeudy.
Not anymore. I think he wears number 4 now.
He hasn't officially changed. Okay. But
either way. Yeah. So the Broncos, according to all the draft gurus, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, they got the best route runners, and neither of those route runners are very good at catching the ball. So I don't want to hear about route runners. I just don't. I'm glad you can get separation, but I'd rather have a guy get no separation and catch a ball in traffic than get a lot of separation and not catch the ball at all. And listen, the jury is still out on Jerry Jeudy, and I think Jerry Jeudy is going to be just fine. But I think the Broncos had the intention of looking at Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State as being their slot receiver of the future, and not only their slot receiver, a big slot receiver.
Well, the thing is, you remember a year earlier when they drafted Carlos Henderson, they thought they were getting a slot receiver then too. Somebody with speed. And the thing about that 2018 draft is they had Courtland Sutton in round two and Deshaun Hamilton in round four. And in some ways, they were trying to make up for the mistakes made earlier with another day two wide receiver in Carlos Henderson, although he was round three, and then Isaiah McKenzie, who also returned punts. It was almost like, with the exception of Garrett Bowles, that 2017 draft didn't happen. They spent 2018, even into 2019, making up for the mistakes they felt they made in 2017. And then it sort of goes on. They've continued picking wide receivers, which makes you think that they're trying to make up for the fact that Deshaun Hamilton didn't come through. If Hamilton had been what he showed flashes of being, I don't know if Jerry Jeudy's a Bronco right now. You know, I think they would have traded down last year.
You know, it's funny. We have talked about it so many times, and there's an exception. That exception is clearly Courtland Sutton, that, you know, Elway couldn't identify quarterbacks in the draft. Mm-hmm. He couldn't identify offensive linemen in the draft. You know what else? He couldn't identify wide receivers either. He found Courtland Sutton. I'm with you on that. Juwan Winfrey, what happened to him?
He was a Zach Azani guy, and he was a day three flyer. You're gambling on talent.
Carlos Henderson.
The problem was he couldn't
see Carlos Henderson.
Remember Vance Joseph trusting his sibling who was on the Louisiana Tech staff.
No, I understand that.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm not just picking out one guy. Courtland,
well, sometimes
Courtland Sutton was a great pick in the second round, but I'm saying Juwan Winfrey and Carlos Henderson and
Cody Latimer.
Deshaun Hamilton. Fourth round picks are expected to, at the very least, be decent, not be guys that you take in the fourth round, and then 2 years later, that same general manager drafts two wide receivers to replace you.
I mean,
which Elway did with Hamler and Jeudy.
Yeah, Hamilton.
2 years later.
Yeah, Hamilton, when you get to the fourth round, you have a guy who had 81 catches, 10 yards a catch, and 5 touchdowns. Is he a complete bust in the manner of Carlos Henderson? No.
Henderson was a third round pick.
Yeah, he was a third round pick, but it's not a pick you're saying worked out. I mean,
they gave up on him in less than 2 years. Is
Henderson.
My point.
Well, they gave up on
They gave up on Deshaun Hamilton in 2 years. And they barely, when they gave him a chance, he had, was it his first game? You'll remember this better than I do. Was it his first game where he dropped a sure touchdown? Was that the?
No, he dropped, it was the first game of his second season.
Of a second.
Joe Flacco.
Right.
In Oakland, Monday Night Football, he dropped the pass. And then the first game Drew Lock started, the catch that could have basically wrapped it up against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Deshaun Hamilton is wide open across the middle.
Yeah.
And he dropped it. And that's why the arc of Deshaun Hamilton could have been completely different. Because he actually led the team in receiving the last 4 weeks of 2018. And that was one reason why you start off the 2019 season. He has a prominent role. If he catches that pass from Joe Flacco in week one, I don't know that we're having this discussion about Deshaun Hamilton right now, but he did drop it. He did lose trust. He did fall out of favor. And then when the deck was cleared 3 months later and Drew Lock came in, again he dropped the pass and again fumbled his chance to solidify his space. It's, you know, some guys you look at and say, oh, they never had the chance.
He had chances.
Deshaun had chances.
He did.
It just didn't work out.
All right, coming up after the break, a little bit of history last night in baseball, both the history that was made and almost made. Is a no-hitter, is a perfect game, the most difficult thing to do in sports? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. You can also listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
White Sox pitcher Carlos Rodon throws the second no-hitter of the season. He was two outs away from a perfect game. That got me to thinking. What are five of the most difficult things that a professional athlete can do in his sport? Now, I want to take a quick right turn on this. To me, the hardest thing that you can do in sports, the hardest thing you can do in sports by far, there are two things. If you are a guy walking off the street trying to do this, okay?
Yeah.
People say a guy walking off the street can't hit 100 mile per hour fastball. I'd be willing to bet at some point you can get contact. With that, I would like to see a guy walk off the street and hop onto the Indianapolis 500 track and drive at 200 miles an hour in heavy traffic and not die. That's a lot harder than hitting a 100 mile per hour fastball.
That might be the hardest thing of all, quite frankly.
Or maybe doing the Super G at about 90 to 100 miles an hour, screaming down that hill and not shattering every single bone in your body.
Bobsled, luge.
No, you can do the bobsled. I've done the bobsled.
Yeah.
I couldn't steer it, but I could sit as a passenger.
You were a passenger. But I was a passenger. But you couldn't get up and steer the bobsled.
Well, I could not go.
You couldn't be the driver.
I could not go 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You wouldn't want to do the luge either, just going down on a slide.
I've done the luge.
You have?
At the luge? In Lake Placid. I went down the track.
Was it frightening?
The bobsled was far more frightening.
Really?
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Wow.
Yep. Long story. I won't get into it.
Ski jumping. That's another thing you
wrote. Ski jumping. There you go. Ski jumping is right up there with driving an Indy car and Super G.
How about the high platform, the 10-meter platform diving?
No, that'd be easier to do than doing the ski jump.
That looks frightening as hell.
No. But at least you're landing in water.
Yeah.
At least you're landing in
water.
But
if you land wrong, like if you, yeah, yeah. if you're off, put it this way, if you belly flop off the 10-meter platform.
Yeah.
You're hospitalized.
There you go. Okay, so as a professional athlete, in your sport, what is the most difficult thing to do?
Mm.
Or some of them?
And perfect
game could be one of them.
Unassisted triple play.
Right up there.
There have been fewer of those than perfect games, I believe.
Is that right?
Yeah. Troy Tulowitzki had one back with the Rockies against the Braves. And you know what? I remember that well because it happened on the second day of the draft that year. And ordinarily, I would have been at that game because it was Rockies Braves and I missed it. I was like, oh my God, I missed an unassisted triple play because I was writing about Marcus Thomas in the draft. But in some ways, the most remarkable single accomplishment of Troy Tulowitzki's career. Four home runs in a game is something extremely difficult to accomplish. Well, even today.
But now four homers in a game.
Yeah.
But now we're hitting something where I might as well just say five in a game. You know what I mean?
Well, I think
we can just keep adding to it.
Well, I think what we do is we say, okay, it's something that has been done. I think that's what we're looking at. Instead of saying, oh, it's never been done. You're looking for something that has been done but is exceedingly rare.
How many times over the last 10 years do you think a guy has scored four or more goals in a game?
In the NHL?
Well, over the last 10 years.
Five times.
35.
Ooh, really? More than that?
Shockingly high.
Yes.
I'll give you one thing that should absolutely, positively not be on the list.
Tell me.
Hole in one. Because if a drunk guy with a cigar in his mouth can hole out, a pro can hole out. Right?
Yeah.
A guy walking off the street who has played some golf and is a 18 handicap can get lucky every once in a while. So for a professional golfer to get a hole in one, I'm guessing they've gotten lots of them.
Well, here's one that came up recently. The 7-10 split in bowling.
I just saw that. An 18-year-old did it.
And it had not happened in the when they do the TV, like the final five of every bowling tournament.
Right.
That had not happened in a TV bowling event in 30 years. A 7-10 split.
Anything else?
I would... 7 touchdown passes in a game.
How about perfect passer rating? As of 2019, don't look it up.
I'm not.
How many quarterbacks have completed a game with a perfect passer rating of 158.3?
10.
74.
Whoa, 74?
And 7 have done it multiple times.
Now, how many of the, is there a minimum?
Oh, wait, hold on.
Wait, is there a minimum attempts?
That's overall. That's in history.
Okay.
My bad. 79 times or 74 times in history that has happened.
Okay.
74 times in history.
Do you know how many times in the last 10 years?
I'll guess 9.
You're going to guess.
I did. I guessed 9.
And was that correct?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
I didn't look it up. I was looking.
Oh, I don't know.
But
only 74 times in NFL history has a quarterback had a perfect passer rating.
What I was looking up was to see, maybe you weren't in Kansas at the time. Mm-hmm. Were you in Topeka in 1990?
I was there in 1992 to 1994.
Okay, so you missed Derek Thomas having 7 sacks in a game. And that happened against Seattle back in 1990. And of course, the crux of it was that he came within an eyelash of sack number 8 on the last play of the game. It was against the Seahawks. Dave Craig was the quarterback. And he just missed Craig, who escaped, looked downfield, and found Paul Scansey for the game-winning touchdown on the last play of the game, and the Seahawks won by 1. And so it's interesting. Something that was exceedingly hard to get. 7 sacks for a lot of guys is a great season.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek Thomas did it in 1 game, and yet, to his dying day, the moment from that game that stuck with him was the one that he missed. We've had a few guys get 6 sacks in a game, including Derek Thomas himself doing so in 98, but nobody else has gotten 7 in a game.
But again, we're just up in the ante with numbers. How many guys can do it 9 times?
Well, if we're talking about like things that are hard to do.
I'll give you something.
100 points, Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, yes. Yes. It's happened 1 time. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about something that is realistic. That was a... And oh, by the way, guys like LeBron James, if they wanted to score 50 on most nights, they could. They just choose not to because they want to play a team game, right? With that, I'll give you something that's more difficult to do than a perfect game, that is more difficult to do than a perfect passer rating because it's been done.
Even on an assisted triple play?
More difficult than that. How many assisted triple plays have there been in history?
I believe there have been, I want to say 12.
There have only been 5
okay.
Quadruple doubles in basketball history. Only 5. Would you like to know who they are?
Yes.
Okay. Your answer is David Robinson did it.
Mm-hmm.
34 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 10 blocks. Hakeem Olajuwon did it. 18 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists, 11 blocks.
Got to be a great passing big man. You're talking Olajuwon, about guys who could do that.
By the way, did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we were talking about Allen Iverson saying he has the best draft class of all time.
Yeah, and then we talked,
and we were talking about the 84 team and the top 4 guys on that team, clearly Olajuwon, Barkley, Jordan, and who is the other one?
Olajuwon, Barkley, Jordan, and
Stockton.
John Stockton. Then Alvin Robertson was right there.
And I said, I don't think people realize how great Alvin Robertson was.
Yeah.
One of the greatest defenders of all time. Quadruple double for him. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals in a game. And the other one was Nate Thurmond. Only 5 times in NBA history has that been done. So you can make the case, a quadruple-double. And here, actually, it's far more difficult than an unassisted triple play. You know why? Because baseball has been played well over twice as long as the NBA.
True, but at the same time, are you measuring it in terms of games? Or are you measuring it in terms of... opportunities to do it, and so baseball has been played a lot longer at a professional level.
And you play more games, and you play double the games.
Right. So,
and you play double the games.
Right.
Well, not back in the 1930s.
So baseball has a bigger sample size.
More opportunities.
Yes. But a bigger, and so the ratio of unassisted triple plays among possible moments doesn't matter. It is more than that of the quadruple double, but that doesn't dismiss the quadruple double as a
accomplishment. Let's throw something else in here. Troy Tulowitzki had a unassisted triple play, right?
Yeah.
He could have gone 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts and 4 errors in that game, but still had an unassisted triple play. That's all he needed to do.
Yeah.
You cannot have a bad moment in 48 minutes of basketball if you're going to get a quadruple double. You have to be great the entire game. That is a one moment item. For a quadruple double, you have to be great for 48 minutes.
I mean, you could have a lousy shooting game, and I get your point.
You can.
Yeah, you could be like 5 of 15 from the field, but you did everything else so well.
Chances are,
especially because the quadruple double involves a defensive accomplishment.
I agree. The steal
or a block.
It's more difficult to do than a perfect game, and it's more difficult to do than an unassisted triple play, just simply by the numbers. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
The Atlanta Board of Education has renamed a school after Hank Aaron. Also, an incredible buzzer beater from Luka Doncic last night. We'll talk about if it was clutch or lucky. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5. HD3, you can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver. At Eric Goodman, if you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it last night, a game between the Memphis Grizzlies and Dallas Mavericks was coming down to the wire. Looked like the Mavericks might lose it, and then Luka Doncic threw up a one-footed, one-handed, off-balance three-pointer, beat the buzzer, and the Mavericks win. Now, Luka Doncic, obviously a young star in the NBA, has probably a lot of that clutch factor, but some people today saying the shot was more luck than clutch. Is part of being clutch being lucky?
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, luck's involved all the time. But you got to have great body control, too, to make a shot like that. You know, he kind of sandwiched his way between two defenders and falling down, he had enough body control and enough strength to hoist up that shot. Not a lot of guys can do that, so there is some skill involved in that, but there's also some luck that the angle that he threw the ball at, that's a hard shot to make because it was a line drive. There was no arc on his shot at all.
Yeah, and I mean, it can be both clutch and lucky.
No question.
And I think that's the case here. What we see, though, more and more is, and really kind of started with LeBron. Remember that game winner that he had back in, I believe, the 09 Eastern Conference Finals, where he hit it from about 45 feet, and we've seen Dame Lillard have similar shots.
Right.
Guys, you know, sometimes it's a matter of goofing around, but you practice some audacious shots from time to time, and
but
then,
not that one.
Yeah, that
you
one.
You don't practice
balance,
yeah. that one.
Yeah,
half court shots. You do.
Yeah, practice half court shots. But there are some guys that practice the off balance, falling all over the place, thing just to see where it goes, and wouldn't surprise me if Doncic did, but still, even if you work on that, it's still probably about, at best, a 1 in 20 chance of that shot going in, given the angle that he was at, and good for him for hitting it.
Just in case you missed it, USA Today reporting that the Atlanta Board of Education voted unanimously to change the name of Forest Hill Academy to Hank Aaron New Beginnings Academy. Forest Hill Academy was named after a Confederate lieutenant general and a founding figure of the KKK, so a very reasonable change here to Hank Aaron New Beginnings Academy.
Wait, don't say it that way, Danny, because a lot of people don't think it's reasonable. That's what's so sad.
I'm
a lot
on this of people show think, and I think it's reasonable.
There you go. Danny, your opinion is what matters here.
Other figures in sports that you think should have schools named after them? Any Denver sports figures that deserve to have schools named after them?
Well, if you're talking about someone having it named after them, with Henry Aaron, for example, great baseball player, but certainly...
He was a cultural icon.
A cultural icon who... When that team moved to Atlanta in 1966, going in the heart of a deep South, and their signature player was an African-American, the impact on the black community in Atlanta in particular was massive. I don't think you can really...
Understate.
Understate, exactly. So that's why, I mean, thinking of people in Denver sports that had that sort of impact, I mean... Everyone just kind of comes up short if that's the bar we're talking about.
Right. Great athletes.
Yes.
Great players. But cultural impact? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think anybody in Denver kind of meets that standard. But it's different kind of cultural impact because, for example,
you know who does? I'll give you a guy.
Yeah.
I'll give you a guy. And something was just named after him.
Okay.
The Irv Brown Champion Center. At Arvada.
Okay, not an athlete, but yes, someone in sports, definitely.
But a guy who was a great radio sports talk show host, all right? He was one of the top college referees ever. He was a baseball coach and one of the greatest sales guys ever, but a guy who really impacted people's lives. John Elway has impacted a lot of people's lives, whether you work for his dealership and you have a job or you're a fan and you loved watching him on Sunday, different than Irv Brown.
Different kind of impact. I mean, I was thinking of athletes in sports nowadays or just recently retired, one that popped in mind was, I imagine something like that gets named after Drew Brees in New Orleans, given the impact that he had on that city coming out of Katrina.
Or LeBron James in Akron.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure something has been named after him already. All right, that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any of the stores and try out the appliances before you buy them. So if you see like a Viking range and you're like, I wonder what that feels like to work with, you actually can. You can't do that at the big box stores. Not to mention their sales staff is as experienced as it gets. When you are going to make a purchase like that, you want to get the best advice. You're going to have a lot of questions. Talk to people who know what they are doing, people who've been doing it for decades. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, a friend of ours, Charlie Casserly, put out his mock draft for NFL.com. Of course, Charlie is Super Bowl winning general manager. And I think when a lot of people looked at his mock draft, they said, Charlie, are you nuts? I got to tell you something, Mace. I'm not necessarily one of those guys. And that's the tease because I know you think Charlie is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs with his mock draft.
Cry and shame, but you ain't got nobody else.